Hello and welcome to the Daring Home Decor Podcast. If you're obsessed with quirky interior design, then you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Cara Baker, cover girl of Homestyle magazine, serial decorator and content creator. On a mission to banish all of the white ceilings in my home, I'm here with positive vibes and bright lipstick to help you get confident with bold and unique interior design and show you DIY hacks and foolproof steps to create a personality-filled home with all the colour, pattern, pizzazz and glam. If you don't know where to start and are scared of what your friends might think, I got your back, girl. So if you're ready to unleash your creative flair and crush your home decor, then grab your paintbrush, put on those overalls and let's get decorating. Guessing as you're listening to this podcast that you want to get more adventurous with your home decor and to create a home with interest and intrigue. Now, you need to take your styling up a level if you want to do this. In this episode, I'm going to give you some juicy tips on how to style your ornaments and accessories and what not to do. I suggest you grab a notebook and pen and let's dive in. Back in the day, I would say that I mostly displayed my ornaments with, say for example, one in the middle and then two either side, probably all at the same height too. Now this is so forgettable and boring, a bit like when you go to your nan's house and that's how she styled all her ornaments. One in the middle, two either side, all the same level, itty bitty little things, all in a line. Sorry nans, I'm a nan, so no, not all nans are like that. But you get my gist, where if you go to like an elderly person's home, you may find that the decor is a little bit like this. And this is something that we don't want if we want to create interest in our decor. When we moved into the house that we're in now, I've always loved interior design, but I did actually start to delve more deeply into it to elevate my styling. And I had a bit of an obsession on Abigail Ahern. If you don't know Abigail Ahern, she's a famous interior designer and she loves dark interiors. I went through that as well, but decided it wasn't for me in the end. Anyhow, she suggested with styling that you don't leave gaps between any of your ornaments. So I took that to mean that you just needed to have one ornament after another, after another, after another, with no breaks, no gaps or anything. And I remember styling my fireplace like this and thinking, oh, it just looks full of stuff. And then realizing a bit further down the line that what she actually meant was, don't put one ornament, a big gap, another ornament, a big gap. But she didn't mean, you know, have no gaps whatsoever on your surfaces. Let's start with tip number one. And first of all, I'll cover what not to do. Don't display items with equal gaps, as I just touched upon a little bit there. Let's use a console table as an example. If you had a vase and of flowers and you put it in the middle of the table, then an ornament all the way to the left-hand side of the table and another ornament all the way to the right-hand side of the table with equal distances between the two. Now, that is boring. No one's going to look, no one's going to care. It's going to look like everybody else's house. So this is the tip on what you actually need to do. You need to group items together. And this is what Abigail Ahern was trying to say, and I misunderstood. So we'll carry on with the example of the console table, and I'll use my console table that I've got in my hallway. I have a large brass vase with an artificial flower arrangement in it, and I haven't chose to put it in the middle. I've put it to the one side, to the left. Next to that, I've got a tray with, so it's not a tray, it's like a cake stand kind of thing. I'm not sure what it is exactly. Maybe it's a cake stand. But anyway, that sounds weird being in the hallway. It looks great. It's monochrome. It's got black and white stripes on it. I love it. Right, so I've got a tray. I'll call it a tray because I don't know what else to call it. And it's got some cute little gold ants on top, one side, one the other, both facing opposite ways. Then I've got a little bit of a gap and a pile of books with some ornaments on top. And I've also got a Madonna print propped against the wall behind it. So group, I've got the group, I've got the books, I've got the ornaments, I've got the Madonna print. Then a little bit of a gap and I've got a lamp, it's like a star with a sculpture ornament next to it. So I've grouped the lamp and the sculpture together, and I've grouped the tray with the ants and the books with the ornaments and the print. Yes, the vase is by itself, but it's big and it's got flowers in it, so it's not really by itself. And it's okay to have some things by themselves as long as everything isn't by itself. So yes, group things together. And a great way to do this is to use books and trays, as I've mentioned, that I've done on my console table. It can bring everything together and stop things looking bitty. So there is another tip for you. Tip number two, and we'll start again with what not to do. I've already touched on this a little bit. Don't display things symmetrically. I'll give an example of a fireplace this time. Imagine that you've got an ornament in the middle of the fireplace, and then on either end of the fireplace, you've got two candlesticks, both with equal distances apart and both the same height. This is just not going to catch anybody's eye. And we want to catch people's eye, including ourselves. You know, we want to make the room interesting for ourselves too. So this is the tip that what you actually need to do. And it's to make your ornaments different heights. So, for example, on my fireplace, on the one side, I've got a tall vase. I've got a tall vase with a smaller vase next to it. And then on the other side of the fireplace, just trying to remember now, I've got a group of three things. I've got a Hendrix bottle with some pampas grass in it. And then I've got pampas grass on the left too, but the pampas grass on the left is really tall. So I've got a tall vase with tall pampas grass. So you get what I'm saying, different heights. Then on the right, a Hendrix bottle, I'm forgetting words today, Hendrix bottle, which is, as you know, is short, with some smaller pampas grass in there. And I've also got an ornament which is a fist called Girl Power next to that, which is a little bit taller, so it's taller than the Hendrix, shorter than the vase on the left hand side. And then I've got a plaque with box office written on it, which is shorter still. So I've got my group of three on the right, I've got a group of two on the left. I'm not opposed to groups of two, guys. I know people say things should be odd numbers, but I do love a group of two and I'm not opposed to it at all. So as you can see, my fireplace, all the ornaments in it are all of different heights, and this just creates so much more interest. Really think about symmetry when it comes to your styling. Symmetrical things, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying never use symmetry. We need a certain amount of symmetry, because if I had, for example, my tall vase on the one side and then an itty bitty bitty little ornament on the right, that would look shit, wouldn't it? So you've got to have a certain amount of balance and symmetry. But what I mean is everything doesn't have to always be equal and central. So think about it. If you had a mirror, you would always think that mirror's got to be in the middle of the wall. What if you put it just a bit to the left? That would just make things so much quirkier. It's just about looking at what you've got and thinking outside the box, which is something that you need to do all the time when you're trying to be daring with your decor. Think outside the box. The same with things like art. It doesn't always have to be central. Put it to the one side. It creates interest and intrigue, and it's unexpected. That's why it creates interest, because people aren't expecting to see that. And if you want to know a little bit more about this, about unexpected items not in the baggage area in your home, then go to episode 7 of the podcast and you'll find more on how to use this decor hack. Next we have tip number 3 and what not to do, and I've already touched upon this a little bit, little being the operative word. Don't have all small accessories and ornaments. They'll create no impact and they will look bitty and boring. if everything is small and bitty, the room just won't be pulled together and won't have the wow factor. So here's the tip on what you do need to do, and it is to include large items in your styling. As I said, this will give your space a wow factor, and it also makes it feel more luxurious and impactful as well. Here are some examples. You could have a really tall vase, as I mentioned, that I've got on my fireplace. You could have an oversized lamp. Oversized things, oh, they're just great. They're just, people are like, whoa, look at that. So oversized things, for example, lamps, large artwork on the walls, big mirrors. So I'm not saying everything's got to be massive, but if you can have, you know, at least one oversized item and make sure that the rest of your accessories aren't all little itty bitty bitty things, then you will definitely be taking your styling up a gear. Moving on to tip number four and what not to do. Don't have all things matching. This will kill the personality of your room. I've mentioned this before, which is embarrassing really, but it's not embarrassing because this is how we learn. In my old house, in our living room, I had literally, if you're in the UK, then you'll know Next, and you know Next have ranges of things. I think it's probably not so obvious now, but back in the day, they had a range and everything was the same in the range. And in my living room, I had this Next range, which was purple and purple and silver. I mean, what was I even thinking? Anyway, I had this range and I spoke about it before. Everything matched. The curtains, the wallpaper, the cushions, the rug. I even had some prints done, which weren't part of the range, and I actually went and had them done myself to match, to put on the wall. Just trying to think if there was anything else that was matching. But yeah, too many things and all exactly the same. Don't do this. This will kill the personality of your room. So don't have all the same textures, colours, materials. So with your ornaments, don't have everything all smooth, don't have everything all rough, don't have everything all soft, don't have everything all black or white or pink or glass or gold or porcelain. We don't want everything matching. We don't want everything the same. What we do want to do, so this is the tip on what you do want to do, and that's to have a mixture of textures and colours, which is obviously the opposite to what I was just saying. Things have still got to be cohesive, but at the same time, interesting in their own right. If we take the example of my living room now, compared to my old one, my old Next directory room, it is cohesive. I've got the same kind, for example, I've got a triangle geometric pattern running through the room, but the wallpaper doesn't match the rug, and the rug doesn't match the sideboard. They're all geometric, but they don't all match exactly. So you get my drift. Even though I've got the same kind of vibe going on with the geometric triangles, the wallpaper's green, the sideboard is black, the rug is neutral and fluffy. They're all a mixture of different textures, colours, shades, etc. And if you want to have a visual of my living room or any other rooms in my home, you can go over and have a look on my website. There is a link to that in the show notes, and it is caradice.co.uk. You can also get there via daringhomedecor.co.uk, and you can also see my home over on Instagram, where I'm at Caradice Interiors. So don't forget to give me a follow over there and go and have a little look. Now we have tip number five, which is last but not least, and this is what not to do. Don't have too many different themes and styles with your accessories. For example, whilst being eclectic is fine, and I love eclectic, my home is eclectic. So for example, you had a house with a retro coloured maximalist living room, and then a minimalist neutral uber modern dining room, then an industrial kitchen and a traditional bedroom. It's just not going to gel, guys. So you need to make sure that you don't go way overboard with your different themes and styles with your accessories. You don't want too many different colours, themes and materials. You need to match your accessories to your colour palette for your home. And if you're not sure what your colour palette is, or you haven't got a colour palette, or you want to improve the colour palette that you've got at the moment, I have got a free guide, and it takes you step by step through how to create a colour palette for your home, and you'll end up with a downloadable colour palette at the end, your very own colour palette for your home. I will put a link to that in the show notes, so make sure you snag that if you haven't already got it. So the tip of what you do want to do is make sure that your accessories and ornaments have an overall theme around the house. So say, for example, you could actually move the accessories from one room to another and it wouldn't be jarring. They would just fit in perfectly in each room and each space. So that's something to take into account when choosing your accessories. And as I said, if you've got your colour palette, then this will all work beautifully. I'm going to give you a recap now of all the tips. Tip number one, don't display items with equal gaps, group them together. Tip number two, don't display items symmetrically, choose different heights and numbers. That's numbers of things, not literal numbers. Tip number three, don't have all small bitty accessories, include large items in your styling. Tip number four, don't have everything matching, have different textures and colours. And tip number five, don't have too many different styles, keep all of your accessories cohesive. I really hope you found this episode useful and you've got all your little notes on it. Should you have any questions about this episode, I've got a resource for you. It's my free Daring Home Decor Facebook group. You can join for free, as I said. I will accept within a couple of days and you will be able to go over there and use it as a resource to ask any questions that you've got about styling your accessories in your home. I'll put a link to that in the show notes along with all my other resources. And thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I can't wait to get creative with you in the next episode of the Daring Home Decor podcast. One last thing before you grab that paintbrush. If you've been struck with inspiration from the show today, I'd be triple grateful if you'd follow me and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This will help my podcast grow and reach out to more of us fab creatives. You can also see my home in all its glory over on Instagram, where I'm at Caradice Interiors. And don't forget to put a link to this show in your stories to share with all your quirky besties. See you next time, lovely.